Let's start out with a small prayer. Father in heaven, I ask that the words I speak today would be your words, and that all the meditations of our hearts this day would be pleasing to you. And we thank you for the snow, and we thank you for the safe passage that everyone is here. Father in heaven, we bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. What is repentance? We hear about it a lot. People say, I repent of this, or I'm sorry for that. But what is repentance? Looking at repentance defined, there are going to be two aspects we look at. What is repentance and what it is not. In looking at false repentance, we will examine two aspects that manifest itself in the individual. Penance and reformation. What is true repentance? Let's start there. What is true repentance? In a nutshell, repentance is the work of the Holy Spirit in an individual's life with that individual's cooperation. Okay? I'll repeat that for you. In a nutshell, repentance is the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives with your cooperation. Because I want you to remember, we are still free moral agents. God gives us the power to choose. You can choose to keep on sinning, and the Holy Spirit will still be talking to you. David, stop doing that. Amy, stop doing that. I'm not going to pick on anyone else. Because I'm going to get in trouble for that as it is. It is the initiating work of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. It works out in an individual in three ways. Now, the first place I'd like to turn to is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Oh, I forgot to send the children to Children's Church, but they know what they're doing, even if I don't. Oh. We're in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 9. And this is sort of a short synopsis of repentance. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to come to repentance. And that's why we're looking at repentance, what it is, what it is not. God is patient with us. Okay? He is patient with us in the choices that we make. And we make choices every single day. Some of them bring sorrow into our lives. And sometimes when you're sorry, you're not really repentant. I want you to think about that. That's true. Let's look at a story that shows repentance, that gives us an illustration, gives us some place to look at repentance, someone who has repented. Would you turn with me to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, starting in the 11th verse. We're going to Luke chapter 15, the 11th verse. And this is one of Jesus' parables, okay? And this helps us to get a grasp of what repentance is. Starting in Luke, in the 15th chapter, in the 11th verse, Jesus continued after saying other parables. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything there was, a severe famine came in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men.'" So he got up and went to his father. Now there's three things that happened in this parable, in this story. There was the intellectual element, okay? The mind. The change of mind. After he started to starve, and he was feeding pigs and longing to eat what the pigs were eating, his mind said, "My father has plenty of food." So there was a change of mind, the intellect, a change of mind. And then there was the change of heart, the emotional element. He said in his heart, "I'm going to go back to my father." He made up a decision. He said, "I'm going to go back." Even though he knew he had squandered everything his father gave him, and he was going back under a dark cloud, the heart. He changed his heart. And then what did he do? He set his feet into motion. There was a change of will. To be truly repentant, there's three aspects that work in an individual. There's the change of mind. You've known, you know you committed that sin. In your mind, you know it was wrong and you did it anyway. And the guilt of that sin working in your heart, you get a change of heart. And then a change of will. I'm not going to do that anymore. And in all these aspects, the Holy Spirit plays a part. And we're going to look at later on for somebody who actually was sorry he did something, but he didn't truly repent, and he ended up dead. Destroyed. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit works in your heart and says, "David, you've done that, and you have guilt." And then the Holy Spirit works a little further under your cooperation, because you can have the Holy Spirit say to you, "David, that was not right." And you can go, "I'm not listening. Nah, you got it wrong. No one saw me do it. I'm not caught. I'm just sorry I got caught." When you do get caught, you ever thought of that? How many of you are sorry when you do something after you've been caught? That happens all the time. We read that in the newspapers all the time. So as the Holy Spirit is working on you, okay, you have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because like I said before, you're still a free moral agent. You can make decisions. You can keep going down that path going, "I like that sin. God says it's wrong in the Word, but I like doing it." Okay? And you can circumvent that small voice, the Holy Spirit talking to you going, "You need to stop that. You need to repent of that." And we do it all the time. We do it all the time. So we have an intellectual, the mind, emotional, the heart, and the volitional. I hope I pronounced that right. The volitional, and that means physical, the things that happen, the change of will. Okay? You can have a thought that could be in your heart, but if you don't add steps to it, you've short-circuited repentance. You can get so far and then stop. And all along the way, the Holy Spirit is going to help guide you if you're listening. But how many times in your lives when the Holy Spirit is talking to you and to me, I put myself under this sermon also because I'm a sinful man, I don't listen because I don't want to listen. We've all been there. Kind of like little kids. You know, we grow up, we're parents, and we have little kids and stuff. And we go to our children, why aren't you listening? And they go, I don't know. They're just off doing what they normally do, right? Don't do that. You turn around and they've poured milk all over the kitchen table. How many people have been there? That's a child. Guess what? You adults are still doing that. You might not be taking physical milk and going, I'll teach mom and dad. Huh? But you're still spilling spiritual milk in your lives. God's saying, don't do that. And you run right out there and do it anyway. And then you're going, oh, I stubbed my toe. I made a mess. And God's going, yes, you did. Holy Spirit's telling you, you made a heck of a mess. You need to repent of that. I don't wanna. How many times have you heard that? Well, I don't wanna. How many times have you said it to yourselves? I don't wanna. I don't even know if I don't wanna is a word in the dictionary, but it says a lot. People do it all the time. So the boy that was out there in that country said, I have sinned. Head knowledge. We know it. We're all reading the word. We know where sin is. And if you don't, your spirit knows. Every once in a while, you'll stray into something. You'll get over here, you'll get closer and closer. And you know it in your spirit. It's going, that's sin. You shouldn't be over there. And you go, oh, nobody's looking. And you get a little closer. And before you know it, you're wrapped up in it. And I don't want to go too far down that trail because Pastor Rich is going to continue on this. I want to define what repentance is. So repentance is a work in the mind, the heart, the will. Let's look at another. Now that was a parable, okay? Let's look at a real life situation where there was repentance. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 14, and I'm going to paraphrase some of this. This is a very long scripture reading, and we don't have to see it all. We just want to pick out the nuances in this actual happening. And to set the stage for this, this is when Peter, after Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Did I just say Acts? Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And like I said, I'm going to paraphrase some of this because I don't want to draw this completely out. I'll be up here all day talking. But you all know the story. This is at Pentecost. The apostles and the people that were with him in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter and the apostles went out into the crowd, went out into Jerusalem, and they were talking to the people. And the other apostles were talking in foreign languages, and they were accused of being drunk. Okay? So we have an idea of what's going on. Everybody remember that story? I think you do. Peter goes on to tell everyone what is actually happening here. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. Okay? The people are starting to listen. Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is preaching to them, talking to them. He has told them what has transpired. Jesus was crucified. God sent him here. He performed miracles in front of you people. Some of you people were involved in the crucifixion. You denied him. Okay? We get through that whole story. And then in chapter... Verse 36 is where I'm going to pick up rather than read everything from 14. In verse 36, Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They were cut to the heart. The Holy Spirit, after Peter had explained everything to them, what had transpired, what was going on at that particular moment, there was a head knowledge. They took in all that knowledge. Jesus performed miracles. They put him on the cross and crucified him. They were part of that. And now they're cut to the heart. The Holy Spirit is at work in them. They were cut to the heart. And they said, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And Peter says, and Peter replied to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That is repentance. In the same story, we have this three elements. The change of mind. Peter told them what had happened. And they knew it because they were there and lived it. Okay? And then they were cut to the heart. The emotional. The change of heart. The Holy Spirit has now started to work in them. And then the change of will. What did they say? "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." Repent from what you have done. You followed this train of path. These actions led up to this. Christ was crucified. You denied him. Now, Peter's saying, turn away from that. Repentance is to turn away from that. Turn your back on it and walk this way and accept Christ as your Savior. That's what he told them. Repent and be baptized. Become part of the family of God. To be a Christian, you can't just repent once. You're going to repent all through your life because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things that not only hurt yourself, hurt other people, but sin against God. And to truly repent is to turn away from that. You have a good understanding of what repentance is. It's a gift from God, but it's the start. It is the beginning. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. Peter said, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Paul, in his letters, said, repent and believe the gospel, which is the good news that Jesus came and died for us. Repent is that emotional, intellectual, it's also the physical. And you have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at what repentance is not. What's not repentance? Okay? And we're all guilty of it sometimes. And the whole world is guilty of it right now. Okay? They're sorry for stuff. How many politicians get caught doing something? And they're sorry about it. But if they wouldn't have got caught, they would have continued right on, right? How many of us do that? "Oh, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry somebody saw me do this." You're only sorry you got caught. If you wouldn't have got caught, you'd keep on doing it, right? Kids are like that sometimes. They're only sorry when they get caught. I have a 15-year-old son, which I deal with that on a daily basis, along with other children. And I deal with it with my friends at work, my coworkers. I'll tell them to do something. And they'll go off and they'll start doing it half-cocked, so to speak. And they don't get it done right. And they're like, "Oh, I'm done. Did you do this, this, and this?" "Well, I did that and that." "What about the center part I asked you to do?" "Oh, I didn't feel like doing that." "I'm sorry." "Are you? Are you sorry?" Sorry is such a really overused word. "I'm sorry." How many times do your children say that to you? Don't do that. They do it. You catch them. I'm sorry. And they'll go right off and do it again. We do things like that. I want to take you now to a very sad story of false repentance. And in it, we're going to look at the two things I talked about earlier under false repentance, which is penance, okay, and reformation, to reform oneself. How often do we get to reform oneself? Oh, I'll change. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm turning over a new leaf. Well, when you had the leaf on the other side and you're looking at it, it's rotten, right? So when you turn that leaf over, what do you have? It's still rotten on the underside yet, and it's going to rot all the way up through to the clean side. So you turning over a new leaf doesn't really help, does it? That's being reformed. Okay, I'll try and do better. That's a part of reformation, of reforming. And I'm not talking about the reformation that Luther started and brought us to the Protestantism. I'm talking about trying to reform yourself. Can you reform yourself? No, you can't. You ever notice that when God says, Jesus said, you must be born again, that means a totally new item, new. He's not reforming the old self. He wants the old self to be dead. Reforming means you're just taking some of the old stuff, like that clay, okay? Take a piece of clay, you don't like the way it looks, so you smash it down and you reform it again. God doesn't want that. He wants a whole new piece of clay because He wants a new you. Can't reform. So to truly repent, we throw out the old clay, right? We're going to repent, get rid of it. Penance. How many times have you done something wrong and got caught at and go, well, I'll try and be a better person. I'll give an extra $25 in the plate on Sunday, Lord. That's how I'll take care of this. Does God want that 25 bucks? He doesn't want it. You can't buy good feelings. The guilt's still going to be there. Can't pay for it. You got to repent. And I'm not going to pick on the Catholic Church, but they're big on that. They want you to pay penance. When I was a Catholic, and I would go to the confessional, and I would tell the priest everything I had done as a young man. He would say, okay, I forgive you. Now go out there and say 250 Our Fathers, 6,000 Hail Marys, and 7,000 Acts of Contrition. Now, I'm just exaggerating a little bit. But they wanted you to do something as a penance. That is not scriptural. That is not in our Word. God doesn't want your penance. You can't do anything for Him to pay for your sin. Nothing. Because if you did, that would mean that Christ's blood meant nothing. He paid the full penalty. He paid the full penalty. Our job is to repent when the Holy Spirit prompts you to repent. And repent is the change of mind, the change of heart, the change of will. Turn with me to our last scripture in Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. That's Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read a very short story there. And we're going to look at those three elements and what happened to this individual. Matthew 27. And I'm going to start in verse 1, but I'm going to read down to verse 5. So it's Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 1. And this is a very sad story, but it is the perfect picture of false repentance. False repentance. starting in Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. And then he went away and he hanged himself. We have the operation of those three elements in there: the mind, the heart, and then the action. This is a stark picture of false repentance. Judas was sorry. He was sorry for what he had done. He had betrayed his friend and master for money. And when he saw it, his heart was downcast. He went back to try and change it, but it was too late. He threw the silver into the temple, and the grief and the guilt was so strong, so overpowering, so complete that he couldn't live with himself anymore. And he went out and hanged himself. When you do not truly repent, the guilt is still there. Okay? The Holy Spirit takes that guilt away when you truly repent. When you repent, God in His power takes that guilt away. Now, sometimes you hang on to a sin even after it's been forgiven. All right? So you have to be very careful, and you have to be close to your Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. You have to be on that intimate and let Him speak to you. The Holy Spirit will say to you, "Why are you kicking yourself? You've repented of that sin. Let it go." But after you have had that close relationship with the Holy Spirit and the guilt is still there, there could be a possibility that you didn't repent of it. And that's where repentance is a very personal activity with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Judas didn't have that. He was humanly sorry for what had happened. He tried to make it right. "I have betrayed innocent blood." He went to the authorities that handed Christ over to Pilate. And they said, "What is that to us? That's your responsibility." Right? And the guilt was so overpowering that he went out and hung himself. Judas was not saved. He committed suicide. I don't know if any of us have any guilt that you have. But just look at the world right now. How many people commit suicide because they just can't live? "I just can't go on." Because they don't know about repentance. They don't understand what repentance is. They don't care about repentance. They don't have the Word. With us in the Word, we know what is right and wrong. God's standards are there. And I'm telling you, when you break one of those standards, the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you. Do not push the Holy Spirit away, because that is the beginning of true repentance. He's going to work on your mind. He's going to show you where we have made a mistake. He's going to want you to change your heart. Allow that change to come upon you. Don't fight it. Don't push it away. Don't say, I'll do it next week. In order to be a strong church, a strong congregation, a family, you are all my family. And we need to repent every day of the wrongs that we have done. Don't be like Judas and say, hey, sorry that happened. And then take it no further. I want to tell you what, there is a whole world of sorry people out there. Sorry people. We see them every day in our lives, in our families, in our extended families. So we, as a congregation, need to help steer them towards repentance, letting them know what repentance really is. And if they're not saved, we need to tell them about the gospel, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin, and all this guilt can be taken away. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we ask for true repentance amongst ourselves. You have called us to be the heart of Christ Church. You have called us to be a repentant people. So, Father, I ask, send your Holy Spirit upon us. Give us the strength to repent, truly repent, and turn away from the things that cause so many problems in our lives, in the lives of our congregate members, in our families, in the people that we're around. Father, help us to truly, truly repent of our wayward ways. And may we come under your tutelship. May you move us and drive us and strengthen us to be your children, forgiven, loved, that we can take that love that you've given us out into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.